costs for passenger trains. Jeremy House reporting.
The president and publisher of the New Republic faces allegations of sexual harassment. Hamilton Fish has been placed on a leave of absence. Also, actor Kevin Spacey faced backlash for coming out after an allegation of pedophilia. And NBC fired journalist Mark Halpern. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. This is the night before Halloween, and I am your guest. No, I'm your host.
Don't even know who you are anymore. I like, though, how you start these shows by saying, welcome back to Radio Wasteland.
It's, yeah, we have no new listeners. We just have like regulars that are life, slowly dropping off. Yeah. So I am your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my sidekick, Sean.
Hey.
And we have our elusive third member as our co-conspirator this evening. We have Andrea.
Easily the most important member of our group.
Easily, yes. Everybody knows that the only reason why people listen to us is as a favor to Andrea.
Oh, well, okay.
How are you doing, Andrea?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So, every time we talk to you about scary things, like I remember when we had the... Well, basically, let me talk to the audience and basically say that tonight our topic is to discuss Halloween, things that scare us, scary things that we've had on the show, scary movies, of course.
Naturally.
And why exactly people enjoy being scared. And the last one seems a little weird to me because every time we have something scary, Andrea's just all, oh, I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah. I take three separate pills to avoid being scared, so it does shock me.
Yeah, but you like scary movies and stuff like...
I do like scary movies, but I don't know, not because they scare me. I usually identify with the monster.
Yeah.
I'm like, go get those kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun for me.
Visually, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, Andrea, when we had the vampires on...
Oh, boy.
Andrea was, like, didn't want to communicate with him. Not out of anything personal, they were totally nice, but just out of fear.
Of the vampires?
Of the vampires.
Yes.
What's
really?
Up with
absolutely.
That, Andrea? What's up with
what's
that,
Andrea?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Oh, I actually believe that vampires are real, and that they do, that I have something to offer them, my blood. And I'm afraid of needles and things that puncture my skin. So there you go. That's why I'm so afraid of vampires.
You and your brother are both really an enigma. You guys come from socio-political religion backgrounds where you would expect that you would have no fear of vampires and you wouldn't believe in mermaids and you wouldn't think of any of these stuff, and you guys are constantly amazing me at what you believe in.
You believe those guys were vampires?
Joe believes in vampires. I'm pretty sure of it. I think we've been scared before together as children of vampires.
I mean, do you think those guys you were talking to were legitimately vampires, though?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes. And they do. There are some that drink blood.
Well, yeah, that's
true. And I
have
blood to offer.
Yeah, but they're not jerks about it. I mean, they're not going to just go like... Hey, person I've been chatting with on the internet, why don't I come over to your house and drink your blood?
It's more like Oliver Twist, where they're, oh, please, sir, can I have some more?
Exactly like that.
You know, vampires, and whether or not they exist, always make me think of a horror movie. It makes me think of George Romero's movie Martin. Have you ever seen this movie?
No.
Probably not. All right. So Martin's about this kid who thinks he's a vampire. And he goes around with a syringe, and he attacks people and kills them and takes their blood.
Hmm.
But that's not the twist. The twist is there's this other young guy who believes that this guy's really a vampire, and he's chasing him down because he wants to stake him through the heart. And, like, it's just this great, scary horror film where these two people believe that they are both something that neither of them really are.
Okay, so I definitely have to watch this now.
Yeah, it's definitely good.
Me too.
No, you can't watch it, Andrea. It's too scary for you.
I like to be scared.
You do like to be scared.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do like to be scared, so I'll probably watch it now.
You just don't want to dabble with a real deal.
Right.
I don't want to invite it in my house.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think those guys said that they didn't need to be invited, so I...
What?
Yeah, I don't think that works.
I think a Facebook invite alone is enough, Andrea.
Oh, God.
You guys are friends.
Why I told you I didn't want to deal with it.
I'm sorry, we're being mean. But
right,
it's very funny.
Well, I thought one of the topics that we could talk about is the scary stuff that we've had on the show. You know, we've been on the air for well over half a year now.
Yeah. We've had some scary stuff.
We're on like our 38th episode, and the 26 would have been half a year, right? 52
yes.
weeks in a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Math person.
Yeah, so we had the girl with the scrapes.
The scrapes?
Yeah, so we had the one girl who, when investigating some place that was
oh,
haunted,
yeah, with the three scratches.
Had the three scratches.
Yeah, that one was pretty scary. The show with Exorcist, I thought was terrifying.
Oh, yeah, she was talking about going to her friend's house and...
Right, and her friend was levitating and tried to push her down some stairs.
Yeah.
That story.
Right.
Freaked me right out.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I mean, the scratches came to mind because you had scratches at the exact same time.
Right, well, because I summoned that one demon, so it's like it was a whole thing.
Now, you're always joking about this. I mean, are you...
No, I'm legit... Just because I'm joking doesn't mean I'm also not being serious.
What, do you do this in your room?
No, I went down... There's sort of a creek by the house. It's a nice area for rituals.
Oh, God. What do you think of this, Andrea? Do you think this is safe?
I believe Sean does that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I have no reason to doubt that Sean actually does that.
Oh,
absolutely.
God.
And Sean, if I'm in town, I will absolutely go down to that creek and do the same thing with you.
Oh, awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to try to summon a demon, but you're not going to dabble with a vampire on Facebook?
I used to use a Ouija board in any cemetery I could find as soon as the sun went down. Every weekend, any night, whenever.
You were that girl. You were that girl.
Yeah.
I was.
That's funny. Cause
that is funny. And yet you're scared of vampires.
My wife has, like, really light skin and dark hair and, like, amber-colored eyes, you know, so... She's, like, really kind of a flowery, bubbly person, but she can't help but to look like a goth rocker. She just naturally does. And the kids growing up used to call, their friends used to call her Goth Mom.
Goth.
Which was really funny. And then we were at this bar one time, and this girl was trying to start an argument with her, and she called her Gothica. And Terry's, like, wearing a flowery dress and stuff. But no matter what she wears, you know, people
right, well,
are like,
just
whatever.
Looks like, yeah.
Yeah, she can't help it.
That's awesome, though, frankly.
Yeah.
It's a compliment. She should take it as a compliment.
Well, I mean, that's why... I mean, I'm the horror movie fanatic, so, I mean, I can't complain, you know? So, Andrea, what's happened on our show that you thought was notably scary?
Absolutely nothing. The exorcism, not scary. Ghost hunting, not scary. The vampires.
Just the vampires.
For me, I had a hard time listening. Yeah. And I didn't listen for a little bit, and I peeked back in to see, and I listened to it over the course of a couple of weeks, actually. I had a hard time listening to it.
You just had to ease your way into that one. That's
very interesting.
Kind of sad. I pity you, Andrew.
No, I legitimately find that fascinating. I thought belief in vampires was dead, pretty much. I mean, I thought it... That was like a pun or something, I don't know. But I really didn't think there was anyone who still believed in vampires. But I am happy to be proven wrong because I love vampires. So.
All right, you were listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we are going to discuss why exactly people like us like to be scared. Come on back.
flap began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise, he did the Monster Mash.
Shasta Wildlife Rescue and Rehabilitation is participating in North State's Giving Tuesday, powered by Shasta Regional Community Foundation. Join the generosity movement and support your local wildlife this November 28th between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. Visit www.northstategives.org/ShastaWildlifeRescue. Like us on Facebook and get updates on this event and discover more of what we do for this beautiful North State we call home.
Thank you, North State, for helping us help wildlife.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX-9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
Abby, I think I have the luck of the Irish this month. Haven Humane's second Tuesday dinner is going to be at Shameless O'Leary's, the only true Irish pub in Reading. Shameless O'Leary's has won multiple awards for their delectable food and known for their outstanding shepherd's pie, Irish tacos, bangers and mash, and more.
Please join us Tuesday, November 14th at Shameless O'Leary's from 5 to 9 p.m. and see what shenanigans will take place. They will generously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the homeless animals.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You are listening to Chauncey, Sean, and Andrea, and we are talking about Halloween. You know, that song, I'm a Halloween junkie, and I never even thought until this year that that was a great Halloween song. You know,
yeah.
My buddy John pointed out.
Written by a stalker serial killer trying to capture John Candy.
It's a little...
That's just what I heard. I don't know. But I can see why it's, you know, Halloween-themed.
I do have a disturbing factoid about that song. We live in a day and age where nobody's going to remember the album cover for that Bow Wow Wow album. But on the cover of that album was the singer of the band sitting in the sand wearing a sexy, somewhat revealing outfit with a, you know, sexy look on her face.
Okay.
And the controversy was she was 15. Isn't that crazy?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And so there was a big deal about it at the time. You know, I mean, it's not... It's not, like, X-rated or anything. It's not even R-rated. But, you know, the connotations of the album cover. Oh, this got worse. All right. So, we're going to talk about the...
Right, yeah, let's change the subject.
Yeah, he brought up the... So, you know, why... Sean, let's start with you. You got an opinion on everything.
No, I really don't. Because, see, I don't really seek out being scared. As I said before, horror movies really aren't, it's not about the fear for me, necessarily.
Do you like to be scared? And people get scared in different ways. What about roller coasters?
Well, I hate roller coasters. So, no, I would say in general I don't like to be scared. I generally enjoy horror movies and stuff like that for the aesthetic.
Yeah, more so the imagination.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I like about it, too, is that
yeah.
horror movies to
like
me are...
Like the adrenaline rush and, like, you know, the emotional high when the thing jumps out of the closet going woogly-bloogly or whatever, you know, that doesn't...
You don't have any of that.
Right, well, it might startle me, and I don't particularly enjoy being startled, but...
Well, given your imposing stature, I think we should not be so surprised that you're not scared by anything, Sean.
Okay, I'm sensing that I'm being made fun of here. I'm not saying I'm not scared of anything. I'm just saying that
I don't
enjoy it, and I don't...
You're not chasing it down for that reason.
That's not what horror movies are about to me.
You know, I don't chase down horror movies for that reason either. Right. I like the fantastic. Mm-hmm. I like to be... I'm not interested in reality, and nothing's further from reality than horror films to me.
Quite right.
I did used to love roller coasters, but now they just make me sick to my stomach. What about you, Andrea? Why do you think people are so drawn? Because, I mean, regardless, Sean, whether you are that way or not.
Clearly people are.
Clearly people are.
Yeah.
So, Andrea, what do you think? Why do you think people like to be scared so much?
Well, I just thought about this because I watched the movie It. And I asked myself afterwards why I watched this movie. Why did I put myself through that?
The mark of a good movie.
I spent 2 hours being scared. And then I walked out thankful to be alive. It was like I came alive afterwards, just happy I was alive, happy there was no clown in my life.
Oh.
It was like it was a good thing for me.
Well, that explains why I don't seek it out for that reason.
I wonder if we're going to get any calls from the Board of Clowns, because they're very upset about all the anti-clown stuff going on. They feel that they're...
That ship sailed.
Yeah.
If you're on the Board of Clowns at this point,
yeah.
you gotta read.
And creepy.
Yeah, if you're not in Cirque du Soleil, man,
right?
You're in the unemployment line. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm saying there's top tier clowns and there's bulk rate clowns. And you know, if you're a bulk rate clown, you may as well be waving a chainsaw around.
Totally. If you're one of the hobo clowns, it's like
exactly. You may as well be hunting down kids to skin them and eat them.
Right.
Because otherwise, what are you even doing?
Starting a horrorcore rap band, maybe.
That is also acceptable. Sort of.
So, my buddy John, his dad Trent, gave me this interesting article.
Mm-hmm.
I forget everything about it except for the premise, which I will tell you. And the premise is that as humans throughout our 200,000 years of humanness and beyond,
sure,
our brains were set up to be aware of our surroundings, to use fear as a mechanism to survive and all this stuff, and that being scared now fulfills the uses of our brain that we normally don't get fulfilled.
That makes sense.
And
for staying alive.
Right, yeah. And sort of for you, in your case, it was kind of like a forced epiphany.
Yeah.
You know, like you came out of that thing and you're just, you know, when the remake of Frankenstein came out, I went with my buddy Matt and, you know, he's a good guy, but he's a little chicken when it comes to horror films. And we come out of that movie, and he doesn't talk to anybody. He just walks right to his car and drives home. He was, like, traumatized.
I was, too. I ran. I did. I ran to my car. I'm not going to lie. It took me a while to be thankful I was alive.
That's funny. I torment my wife every year with a horror film, and I always try to pick one that's, like, fun. So that she won't be too traumatized. And
yeah, like Human Centipede.
Right. No, last year it was Cabin in the Woods.
I almost said that with a straight face. I was so close.
Last year was Cabin in the Woods, and she was, like, totally terrified by it. But I think of that as, like, a...
I mean, that's a funny movie, but it's got some gory bits.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen Cabin in the Woods, Andrea?
No, I like to hike and I like to sleep in the woods, so I try to avoid woods.
Right, well, it's a movie about some people who go to the woods, and it's fine. You know, nothing happens. They have a great time.
Oh, okay.
Right,
yeah, totally. I'll check it out.
No. Just take Sean's word for it. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting, the idea that we're not being fulfilled even in what we think of as being a negative emotion.
Right.
That we're still seeking
like
to have.
Like a brain needs that to be
right.
Operating, you know, it's like maintenance. That kind of makes sense.
Right. Like, you know, like bodybuilders, you know.
Right.
Probably not all of us want to be bodybuilders, but there is a chemical release and a level of happiness that comes from.
Exercise.
Physical.
Right.
Anaerobics, specifically anaerobic exercise, you know.
Right.
Which is something that a lot of people avoid. Go ahead.
I am obsessed with serial killers, and I listen to shows about serial killers every night.
Awesome.
And I feel like it's teaching me to live and not get killed by a serial killer. So a little bit of fear, and I'm more prepared.
Fear is the great motivator. We were talking about this earlier.
That's true.
Yeah, my wife is obsessed with, we just call them murders. So we basically record 24 hours a day of the ID channel that we then watch back on DVR.
Okay.
So pretty much every night we do our thing, we eat some dinner, and then we say, "Oh, you want to watch a murder?" And then that's our relationship.
Are you talking like CCTV footage of a parking lot where someone gets murdered?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it can be that. Can.
I'm concerned because I'm in a small room with one of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I could make it to the exit in time.
I'm sure. Yeah, if there's one thing you could do, Sean, it's outrun me.
Okay, that's fair.
That is for sure. But yeah, no, I guess I didn't really think about that. You know, I'm me, and the nature of me is to be a self-centered jerk. A lot of people find fear not through horror films, but they find fear through these murders that you know, we had the 80s, we had Stranger Danger, and everybody says, "Oh, God, now it's all crazy," where it was probably crazier before when nobody was looking. But, you know, a lot of these people let that ooze through their lives as daily fear. You know, like Andrea was just saying, she's basically collecting how to survive a situation that statistically she's probably equally as likely as winning the Powerball.
That's interesting.
How likely do you think you are to get serial murdered?
I like to think it's very likely.
Yeah.
That's an optimistic point of view.
Yeah,
that is.
Helps keep me interested.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird. You know, I'm just going to put this out there and let people make of it what they will. But most of the ID channel's viewers are moms and housewives. What's up with that?
Interesting.
That's a little terrifying. Well,
we have to walk down dark alleys with children, and we have to live in fear to protect our little ones and ourselves, and we're in the house a lot alone.
Yeah, and as we're very much, you know, as we're very much learning now, those of us who didn't already know, women lived in a much more constant state of fear than men did because of society. You know, everybody talks about oppression and this, that, and the other thing, but women, without a doubt, have been the most oppressed demographic throughout all of history, you know, and so, you know, there probably was a fear there. And you see these serial killers and stuff like that. Serial killers aren't just all, "I'm going to go kill a 40-year-old man today," you know.
No.
It's like, they're not really interested in me.
Yeah.
And a knock on the door, for me, is still frightening. And
right.
I don't answer it, and I peek out the window where my husband can just go open the door and ask them what they want. And
yeah.
I, you know, it's a serial killer every time somebody knocks on my door.
Yeah, the only fear for me when somebody knocks on my door is that it's going to be connected to more responsibility. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're going to commercial, so come on back. Your body line. Shake, 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 Sinora. Shake it all the time. Work, Sinora. Work your body line. Work, Sonora. Work it all the time. My girl's name is Sonora. I tell you, friends, I adore her.
And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line.
This is Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster Collision. It's been 2 years since Don officially retired. Although his presence is missed, his legacy lives on through Coachmaster's personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job. If you've been in to see us in the last 20 years, then we've already met. I will continue to provide the personal and quality service that the North State has come to expect from Coachmaster. Coachmaster is and will continue to be the leader in advanced technology in the collision repair industry, including laser, 3D frame alignment, and computerized paint matching. After all, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
Your insurance does not roll over at the end of the year. It's important that you use this benefit. Ask Dr. Farrell how you can best apply your insurance for your dental needs by calling 547-5757.
Hi, I'm Brian Martin, General Manager at River Commons Senior Living, formerly known as River Oaks Retirement Community. A new name, but the same caring staff, engaged residents, and beautiful community with a new family-run ownership. The goal of the new owners is to carry on the philosophy of always doing the right thing and creating an engaged and caring environment for both the residents and the staff, while preserving the distinguished designation of best retirement community in the North State 7 years in a row. River Commons is a warm, relaxed, carefree environment where the freedoms from daily chores allows you the opportunity to enjoy companionship and time for the things you enjoy the most. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
KCNR 1460, local live radio, bringing you high school football every Friday night, beginning with the pregame show at 7:15 and kickoff at 7:30. Connor Sutton and Tom Galbraith bring you the play-by-play action. KCNR Friday Night Football, sponsored in part by Redding Kia, Black Bear Diner, Holiday Harbor, Turtle Bay Exploration Park, Tri-Counties Bank, Cornerstone Bank, and SST Oil. KCNR 1460 is your source for local sports.
Rest on the leather, refresh on the line. When it's a weapon, sharpen the knives, makes you wonder how the other half died.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are talking about fear and horror and Halloween. You know, I think that, and I can't be the one who came up with this, So we got to find some people who have already started a movement here. I think the day after Halloween should be a national holiday. Apparently, in Oregon, where my friend lives, the day after Halloween in their town is a school holiday.
Well, I remember when I was a kid going to school, 1 year it was. And we were like, oh, well, finally.
Yeah.
And then the next year they stopped doing that.
Yeah.
So we found wisdom, but as quickly as it came, it slipped away from us.
Well, I can't help but to think that there's something...
You should be able to stay out late on Halloween. That's the whole point of the holiday.
I think we're getting some religion opposition to Halloween.
Is that right? Because that would upset me.
Oh, yeah, we are. Oh. Halloween deserves a lot more respect than it deserves solely on a economic level. Now, granted, it is a distant second, but it is the second largest financial holiday in the billions in the country.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of a scroogey way of quantifying its value, I guess. But, I mean, you can't...
Have you watched
that.
The news lately? This is the way people are justifying what they think we should and shouldn't be spending our money on. This is the way people justify what we should be doing. Is it worth the money? Should we spend the money? The money, the money. You know? And
yeah, but that's like policy issues. This is the spirit of the season. Okay, never mind. Go on with what you're saying.
Well, I don't know if I'm really saying much of anything. I just know that in my neighborhood, when we first lived there, there was a lot of trick-or-treating going on. Now I'm like one of like four houses that actually decorates for Halloween.
Right. Well, I mean, it's possible that... Look, if you're in Reading or anywhere around Reading, you've probably discovered after a few years the optimal neighborhoods to hit. Well, I'm being completely serious. Right. So after a few
years...
You think
this is more strategic than anything else?
I know it's strategic. I remember we used to do our neighborhood, and then we realized, what are we doing? The houses are so far apart, you know, this is pointless.
Right.
We got to go to Merry Lake, that's where it's at. And also a bunch of places on the east side, but we didn't want to go there. So.
What do you think, Andrea? Do you think Halloween is waxing or waning in popularity?
Nobody comes to my door, and I live in a busy subdivision. Nobody comes to the door. We spend $50 on candy, and nobody comes to the door. And we're not creepy. There's nothing
That's
that says
so sad.
Don't come to our door.
Apparently, Sean as a kid would have thought you were too poor. Sean as a kid would have thought you were too poor, so he wouldn't have gone there.
No, you go to the poor neighborhoods, the big ones with lots of area and like space between the houses. It's way less efficient.
I see. You know, I think that there are probably multiple factors in Halloween because it is growing as economically. I mean, it is growing. So yes. I think one factor is definitely religion. You know, that we've gone to doors with the kids and they've straight up had signs up. We don't celebrate Halloween, blah, 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 you know. And every year there's like in a couple of churches in town around here, there's always the haunted hell houses. You ever been to one of these things?
No.
Andrea, you ever been to one of the hell houses?
No.
Okay,
nope.
So if you...
I've been to the DMV.
Oh, I'm so excited I get to tell you this. So these churches, they put on haunted houses, right?
Okay.
But the haunted houses are what's going to happen to you if you go to hell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's one right down the street from my house. We go every year.
See, that's upsetting to me, honestly, because a church is such a great place for a haunted house.
Oh, totally.
It's by its nature large and sort of gothic.
Yeah.
Can they baptize you while you're there? I mean, can they just take care of it while you're there?
Yeah, let's clean
like
this
getting,
up.
It's like getting your oil changed.
Yeah, totally. Only have to go once a year. It's fun. Yeah. You get cider. Yeah, totally. Haunted houses, man, I can't do haunted houses.
Really?
Yeah, no, they... If,
oh, I used to love that.
I'm definitely a fighter over a flighter.
I
and,
have hit someone with a plastic scythe in a haunted house.
Yeah, if somebody jumps in my face, you know, I'm not aggressive. I'm not
right.
Like, I'm not like...
It's just reflex.
Right, I'm not like pumped up like going like, I'll show you. I'm like, oh my God, shove him.
It's
you know, and
reflex,
like, I can't
Kyle.
Do it. Yeah. But I had this
Do you
great...
guys remember
Go ahead.
The Monolith haunted house in Reading?
That was the last one I've been to, yeah.
Yeah, I used to kick in the holes. Like, you'd go by and you'd kick in the holes just to make sure nobody reached out at your ankles. Or
oh,
I would just
God.
Punch them first.
Did you ever catch a face?
I kicked a lot.
That's funny.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so I always had this great idea for a haunted house. Any of you listeners, you're welcome to use this. I wanted to have a haunted house for my neighborhood where all the kids came through. And they all got scared and blah, blah, blah. But I wanted it to be for little kids.
Right.
So that the teenagers came through and thought how lame it was. Here's the scary part.
You followed the teenagers home.
At the end,
okay.
I wanted to be dressed like a cop with a flashlight and tell them that I was going to search their bags.
No, that's just mean.
Yeah, don't you think that's great?
No, that is pretty great, actually.
No, that crosses some lines. Yeah.
What is real, it blends the line.
Yeah, so they're too
reality.
Good to be scared of the monsters.
Exactly.
Well, let's scare them with some cops. Let's see what you got in your bag there, guy, on Halloween. You know? But yeah, these hell houses, man, they are great, and they are fun, and they are just off the wall. I don't know. I can't even explain it. I'm gonna have to pick you up tomorrow, Sean, and take you to one of these. You guys haven't even heard of this, huh?
No, I had no idea. I do hope we as a culture just keep spookiness in our hearts, though. You know.
Yeah, well, you know, today
that's important.
Today is actually a holiday.
Is it?
It's a kind of a urban myth pseudo holiday.
Okay.
The night before Halloween is referred to as Devil's Night or Mischief Night.
Mm.
You guys haven't heard of this?
No, but I like the sound of it.
Yeah, so in Mischief Night is a long-running thing where, you know, you do mischief, but it became real popular, I want to say, in the late 70s and 80s in Detroit. There was like a half a decade of mass arson across the city on Devil's Night. And then also The Crow. You ever seen The Crow?
I have seen The Crow.
Devil's Night. They're going off about Devil's Night and that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And that's the reference to it. But
interesting.
And
I didn't know that was a thing.
So we actually have ourselves quite a little collection of holidays here because we have Devil's Night. We have Halloween. And we have All Saints Day.
When is that?
Well, you know how throughout history the Christian religion that morphed into Catholicism sort of tried to take over holidays.
Right.
Well, All Souls Day took over Halloween. They tried to take over Halloween with All Souls Day. And the day after is All Saints Day. So on All Souls Day, you remember everybody who died, and on All Saints Day, you pray to your favorite saint.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we got a little collection.
It's like kind of a best of.
Yeah.
Of the saint.
Right. Because I think, you know, I know this is like kind of a lame topic, you know, because it's been so done to death. But really, if we don't stand up for Halloween, Christmas is going to take this thing over.
Right. Yeah, well, you know. They do talk about a war on Christmas, so.
Who talks about a war on Christmas?
I don't know, Fox News.
Fox News talks about a war on Christmas?
Yes.
Like that the world is declaring war on Christmas?
Well, yes, they feel persecuted.
Oh, right. I get what you're saying. Like you got to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas because it offends people who are not.
But, you know,
Christmas.
Halloween is what we've got to be worried about.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Christmas.
Christmas has kind of got it covered, I think. I think they're kind of doing okay.
I appreciate people's religious connections to Christmas, but most people don't have those.
Yeah.
You know, it's been overtaken by, I think, what is it, Sears or JCPenney you can blame for Santa Claus?
I don't know which it is.
Yeah, well,
I mean.
Basically, Christmas is another one that the Catholic Church tried to take. Right. I feel bad saying the Catholic Church because I was raised Catholic. The Catholic Church today is not the church that did these things, you know, so I'm not...
Well, yes, that
the Catholic
was,
Church
you know,
of
well
Antiquity
over a thousand years ago.
Right, yeah. You know, they basically tried to take over what was a very spooky, raucous holiday that is Christmas with,
right.
You know, Jesus apparently
was
born in the spring or something.
Ritual goat heads, but...
All right, well, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're apparently talking about Christmas. When we come back, we're going to talk about our favorite, scariest horror films. Come on back. Yeah.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Linda and I live a pretty hectic life, and when we get away, we want to have a place that provides solitude and quiet. Well, we found that place, Cottage by the Sea, over in Smith River. Imagine a weekend away from all the concerns of your everyday life. Sunrise, sunsets, walk on a beach that is never crowded, privacy, quiet, and solitude. Cottage has full kitchen, hot tub, ocean views, and it's only a short drive to Brookings, Oregon if you want to go over there to the shops. Call Lori at 541-469-3414. That's Cottage by the Sea.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking about my favorite holiday.
Did not see that coming.
What? This is my favorite holiday.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I cannot sing high-pitched at all. You know, I just can't do it. It's not happening. So I figured, you know, you can't have a Halloween show without talking about some of your favorite scary movies. Because our audience, they need to know, what should they watch tomorrow night to terrify themselves and their children. So, Andrea, do you have a
Nightmare
favorite?
On Elm Street, hands down, the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Oh, that opening scene.
The fact that you go to sleep, anything can happen in a dream, and you can't get out. That is horrifying.
It is horrifying. And that, you know, this happens a lot to horror films, that their sequels come along and then make it kind of a joke. But that first one is, like, straight up terrifying.
That is one of the few movies that Chauncey knows of that I've actually watched. So I can confirm, yeah, that's a very spooky movie.
Yeah, and do you guys remember the opening scene?
No.
So in the opening scene, they actually built a room on hydraulics that could rotate around.
Oh.
Because the girl was getting attacked in her sleep and was getting drug up the walls and across the ceiling and everything.
I wondered how they did that.
And they actually rotated the room around so that she could flip-flop all over the room, you know? Yeah, so that is a good one, Andrea. I'm impressed.
That's a very good choice.
I'm impressed that you're
a fine vintage.
Yeah, but it definitely went downhill by the time you got to the second one.
Well, I never watched any of the others, so.
I didn't make it through the second one. The first one was good enough to terrify me for life.
Right, that's all you needed. Yeah. That filled your cup.
Yeah. I don't sleep now.
Right. What about you, Sean? Anything terrifying?
Well,
have you ever, so you were talking at the beginning of the show about how you don't tend to.
Right, well, my favorite scary horror movies are horror movies, but they're not actually that scary. Like, if I was to choose the scariest horror movie I've watched, it'd probably be the Babadook.
The Babadook?
Yeah, that was a very good movie that I liked, and it was also pretty scary, I thought. But my favorite horror movie is Thirst.
Thirst.
Right, it's this Korean film about vampires.
Oh, okay, I have seen
that. Okay, you've seen that.
You know, that's interesting, because in both of those cases, we're not dealing with a lot of startles.
No, we're not. Because I don't like that. I don't seek that out.
We're dealing with atmospheric
right,
scare.
Exactly. But I will say in Thirst, the scene with the waterlogged corpse that wakes up and starts talking, and it's the corpse of, like, this creepy, clingy, abusive guy in long underwear.
Yeah.
That was frightening. I was frightened by that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that is terrifying. You know, when I think of an atmospheric sort of scary film that has no startles, that just sort of had scary overtones through the whole thing, I definitely think of The Shining. There was like...
I love The Shining.
There was nothing ever really jumped out at you in The Shining.
It had startles.
You know, there was no...
Like, the little girls are suddenly there. That happened a few times, and there's a loud violin chord.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
That definitely occurred.
Right, right, the string section.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that movie was not a very accurate representation of the book, but Stanley Kubrick, man, he did an awesome job. You know, when I think of scary movies, you can't shy away from the ones, especially, you know, here we are talking about religion. And, you know, my wife is Christian, and so things will scare her that don't scare me, because to me, I don't believe in them. But I think to religious people sometimes, things do scare them, because to them they are maybe fact, you know, or potentially factual, you know. Like The Exorcist is a prime example of something that I don't view as being a possibility, but a lot of people do. But I guess I have to second guess that. We've had exorcists on this show, and I do. But I don't think of it in a religious connotation. I think of it as
right.
Sort of a...
I think the most convincing guest we've had on the show was The Exorcist, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the person with the werewolves. The unknown upright canids.
Oh, yeah.
She was awesome.
That's a good band.
Tie for me.
Good band name right there.
Yes.
So I got a little factoid for you about The Exorcist that maybe we all know. One way that they up the freak value in The Exorcist is whenever they were in Reagan's room, if you turn it up. For one, Reagan's room was built in a meat locker. So... You know, this was before they could use CGI, so when they're exhaling, it's actually freezing cold in the room in order to get that look. And then also, if you turn it up really loud, they have this really, really quiet soundtrack of a pig slaughterhouse going in the background. I'm serious.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, so when you're in her room, that's actually in the background, just subliminally quiet.
Is that your choice for... horror movie, The Exorcist.
You know, I am such a big horror fan that I could probably just list
right,
off tons.
Right, you
can
just go off,
you,
all
you know,
day,
when you're a, you know, I'm a music fan too. There is no favorite band.
Right.
You know. So I would say that the movie that I saw most recently that I found to be terrifying was the remake of Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Okay, I haven't seen that, and I haven't seen the original. So
you haven't seen the original?
I have not either.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
You know,
Andrea was like my safety there for this. I was like, I don't have to get all of Chauncey's references this show, because she will.
Well, Andrea and I are older than you. I think Andrea's quite a few years younger than I am. Joe's your big brother.
That was
isn't
safe.
It? Yeah. Joe's your big brother. And Joe and I are about the same age. I don't know if you ever saw a movie, Ghost Story, based on the book by Peter Straub.
No.
There's this scene. Okay, so it's about this group of men that all love this girl, Ava. And they, while drunk, they're sort of passing her around, dancing with her. She's friends with all of them, so this is not shady or anything like that. But she accidentally falls over and hits her head, and they kill her. And so,
what?
And they kill her. Right.
Okay.
And so they think, oh no, we're going to get caught. We just killed this chick. So they,
to be clear, she was dead because she hit her head.
Oh yeah.
Not she hit her head, comma, then they killed her.
No, no.
Okay,
she,
that's
okay.
How I see
yeah,
it.
No,
thank
she,
you, Sean.
They were getting drunk dancing with her and she tripped and hit her head.
Oh, and we can't have clumsy people here.
Right. And so they take her and they put her in this car. This is in like the 1920s. And they push the car into the river. And okay. As the car's going down, she pops up, she's not dead, and they drowned her, right?
Oh, that's funny.
And so this movie picks up, like, 60 years later, these are all old men, and now her ghost has come back to kill all of them. And so
right.
There's this one scene where the guy from the saturated fat commercial is, like, driving, and he crashes his car into a snowbank because he gets scared. And he looks up in the rearview mirror, and he can't get out of his car because it's snow. He looks up in the rearview mirror, and Ava's face pops up. And, like, that traumatized me as a child. Like, up until, like, 10 years ago, I was checking the back seat when I would get in the car, you know.
That sounds like a very empowering movie for women.
Yeah,
I
guess
agree.
So. Yeah, you may not kill him the first time, but you can always come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that one was absolutely terrifying for me. And then The Grudge terrified me, which is kind of wussy of me because it's PG-13. But I was home alone watching The Grudge.
Right.
And I don't know, it just struck a nerve. But I don't know, I'm probably a little bit desensitized because...
Because you've watched every horror movie ever made more than once.
I try to.
Right.
I definitely try to. You know, I'm currently in the process of trying to watch Phantasm 5. But it's kind of slow going, so I've been busy.
Yeah.
So now my life has been reduced to watching horror movies in like 20-minute increments.
You got to find a way to ditch all these responsibilities, Chauncey.
Totally.
They're weighing you down from your important movie watching.
Seems like in these horror films, I might be able to come up with some inspiration on how to get rid of my responsibilities.
That's a bad idea. Nice one, Sean. Nice one.
Terry, are you listening? Terry and the kids.
This
Here's
escalated.
Chauncey.
yeah, totally. Here's Chauncey. But, yeah, so where were we at? I got lost here.
Come play with us, Chauncey, forever and ever. Those were the little girls.
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
mind. Keep going.
I did just see a picture of them all grown up. Apparently, they do appearances at horror conventions.
That's awesome.
Which is...
But Children of the Corn was terrifying.
Children
and
of the
so
Corn
is.
Was terrifying. That is...
Yes.
Stephen King can be touchy when it comes to putting him on the screen because most people don't read the books.
Right.
Most people just see the movies. So they don't really realize... All the weird stuff that the movies tends to leave out. Stephen King is kind of a hard man to
especially with... Well, most of his books, to be fair, were written in a drug-fueled haze.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Because, like, even in The Shining, you know, the bushes came to life, and, you know, there were ghosts. It was obviously a ghost story.
Right. I think that might have been one of the ones that he wrote in, like, a couple of weeks on crack.
On crack.
Well, on
cocaine. Is this fact, Sean? Are we putting out fact now?
I know that was at least one of them. I don't remember whether that was specifically The Shining, but I do know that that was par for the course for how he operated in that period, which he's been, you know, very candid about his drug use in the 70s.
Right.
I kind of like him more now.
Yeah,
more
totally.
Intriguing now.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for checking out Radio Wasteland. We've been having fun talking about Halloween. Enjoy your Halloween tomorrow, and we'll see you next week.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Senators are grappling with whether a new authorization for the use of military force is needed. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the latest.
The current authorization for the use of military force, or the AUMF, has been in place since 2001. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis say it still gives the military the authority it needs to fight terrorist groups, and a new authorization is not needed. Senator Jeff Flake pointed out that none of the 21 members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee were members of the U.S. Senate when the war authorization was approved, and that the current Congress should have more.